The question today is, can a person go years in sin and still be saved? Now, to answer that question, we must look at what God's Word has to say. 1 John 3:9 states this, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God." Now, the word commit in that verse means to practice naturally and habitually, with the tense of it indicating a continuous action. So it means a continuous habitual lifestyle. Therefore, God's Word states plainly that a person cannot go years in sin with a continuous lifestyle of that sin. Can't do it. You say, but preacher, even after we're saved, we still sin because we're still in the flesh, this body of flesh. That's true. But in fact, I'll go so far as to say a person saved cannot commit any sin. A lost person can't, except blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. A man can't do that after he's saved. But I will have to go on to say that he cannot get by with that sin. The Lord chastens his own. That's the saved. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 7 states this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" So we see, as we think about this, chastening. God says he chastens his son. Chastening involves, first of all, speaking. When a saved person sins, immediately the Holy Spirit who lives inside that person is grieved, and he speaks to that person in his heart. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." So to grieve the Spirit is to hurt him very deeply. And that's exactly what happens to him when he's grieved. And when he's grieved, you're grieved. That's godly sorrow that will work repentance in your heart. And then all the person has to do once he has been godly sorrow has worked that repentance is to confess his sin. And that means to agree with God that it's sin and confess it. And the Lord forgives and cleanses that person, as 1 John 1:9 states. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now, if a saved person refuses to confess his sin and repent of his sin as God's dealt with him in the area of speaking, the Lord takes him a second step in chastening, that of spanking. Spanking may come in various forms. It may be a loss of something near and dear to that person, or it may be a trip to the hospital or a car wreck or whatever the Lord may use to get his child's attention. The spanking may be gentle at first because, after all, the Lord's just wanting his children to confess their sins, repent of their sin, and get back in fellowship with him. So the spanking will become more severe if the saved person refuses to confess his sin. Then there will come a point in his life that the Lord says, that's enough. If you're not going to confess your sin, then you leave me no other choice. If you commit that sin one more time, then it will be slaying time. You say, what sin is that talking about? Any sin God puts his finger on, or God speaks about. Any sin. It doesn't matter what it is. Now, this is what the Bible says. It refers to sin unto death. 1 John 5:16 states, If a man see his brother sin a sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. So the Bible says there's a sin unto death for a child of God. When a child of God crosses that line, and it will become a willful sin. Hebrews 10:26 refers to this as, for if we sin willfully, after that we've received the knowledge of truth, and there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In fact, that verse is right after where it said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is. So even missing church is a sin. You can't miss church for years and get by with that if you're a child of God. God will chasten you for that. And if you cross God's deadline, he'll say, that's enough. It's a sin of death. So this willful sin is not a sin of ignorance or a sin of weakness, but it's a sin that a person voluntarily commits. He knows what he's doing. The tense of Hebrews 10:26 reveals this is a continuous habitual action that one has set his lifestyle on or his course on. Therefore, God says, I cannot permit you to head on down that road of sin. I'll take you on home. You'll not let that person go years in that particular sin without dealing with it. Now, let me give you an example. I know I can remember when I was about 5 years old going to a neighbor's house to visit, or at least I think I remember it anyway. Sometimes we wonder how much of that we remember at 5 years old. But, of course, as my nature was, I showed out and disobeyed my father's instructions and my dad's instructions, which he had clearly stated before we went visiting. In other words, he said, now, we're going to visit, and we don't want you to show out. You're representing your dad, and my name's at stake there. And so what happened, I no doubt disobeyed those. At first, Dad would speak to me when I disobeyed. He'd speak to me with his eyes. I don't know whether you've ever had the eye, but I knew what that meant. And now that's what the psalmist said in Psalm 32:8. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Now, if I failed to obey my dad's eye language, then he would speak firmly and sternly. And when I failed to heed his voice, the next action would be a spanking. Now, at first it would be lightly, and if that failed, then there would come a harder spanking with a warning of something like, if you do that one more time, I'm taking you home. You're embarrassing your dad. And if I did that he said not to do, what he specifically told me not to do, then we went home early. And I no doubt many times we went home from our neighbor's house early because of my action that was embarrassing my dad. I believe the Lord operates pretty much the same way. In fact, the Lord is more righteous, a more righteous father than my dad was. If my dad did not let me get by with sin, I don't believe the Lord would let his children get by with willful sin. In fact, Hebrews 10:28 and 29 states, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So the Lord speaks, and if his children fail to confess their sin, then he'll spank. And he'll warn with a warning something like, if you commit that sin one more time, I'm going to take you home early. You're embarrassing your father, and you know better. Then if that person commits that sin one more time, the Lord said, that's it, I told you. And he turns the key of death in that person's life, and he goes to heaven because he was saved, but he will not. He'll be saved only so as by fire. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through 15, I'll not read all of that, but it talks about the judgment seat that we're going to have to stand before. All the saved will stand before. And some will suffer loss and be saved so as by fire. It's what it talks about. And in other words, they're still saved. If a man's saved, he's saved. But he cannot go years in sin and get by with it. Now, the whole process will not take years to complete. Now, that's what the Bible says. I don't know how long it is. I know many got professions that they were 8 or 9 years old. They got saved, and they said they got saved, and then they lived like hell for 15 years, about 20 years old, 25 years old. They got right with the Lord. Well, I've got news for them. They wasn't saved at 8 years old. God will not let you go that long in sin. And in other words, he'll deal with you. Now, we've got a lot of people today that's their testimony. But folks, you better examine yourself if that's your testimony, because God will not let you go years in sin. If you really got saved, it's when you said you got right with the Lord and just don't know what to call it. And that's very, very doubtful in most cases there. But the thing about it is that's what the Bible says, not what I say or anybody else say. Now, I know we're living in a day when people have tried to develop doctrines to justify all their kinfolk and friends by saying, I know they're saved, but they're just backslidden. Folks, I beg you to look at what the Bible says, not what man is teaching contrary to the Bible. You see, this thing of backsliding is an Old Testament doctrine. Many people have, all they've done is turned from the broad way to the narrow way. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, and that narrow way leads to the straight gate. And they call that salvation, but they've not even been through the straight gate yet. And then they backslide to the broad way and then rededicate back to the narrow way. And that's what their life is, of up and down, in and out. And that's not salvation. You see, men are giving many a false hope by teaching you can go years in sin and still be saved. The Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, in John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He also said in John 10:5, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Bible also says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. This is referring to preachers, to so-called good people by the world standards, and many of the faithful in our Baptist churches. You notice what that verse said? They're doing it in Jesus' name. That's not your Buddhist. That's not your Muslim. That's not the Jehovah's Witness. They don't do it in Jesus' name. It's talking about Baptist, Methodist, Church of Christ, and Presbyterians, and those that do it in Jesus' name. Pentecostals, if you please. And he said, many are going to say that. And few there be that find a narrow way that leads to life. Verse number 14, Matthew 7 said, now you know that many are going to call him Lord and be cast in the lake of fire. You see, you can call him all day Lord with a mouth, but it's got to be a heart, a rendering, a calling, taking him as Lord. It's not making him Lord. It's taking him as Lord, because he's already Lord. And you will not be saved till that time comes. And no man, 1 Corinthians 12, 3 says, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It takes his finished work of Holy Ghost conviction to bring a person to that place to where he'll receive the Lord Jesus as his Lord. And therefore, a person then will follow as a sheep. He will follow the Lord, not a stranger's voice. Now, can a person go years in sin and be saved, still be saved, is the question asked for today? Well, we conclude from the Word of God that the answer to this question is no. Definitely no. You cannot go years in sin and be saved without God dealing with you. And if He deals with you, He'll finally take you on home early, prematurely, because you're embarrassing your Father. You're a false advertisement for Him in this world. And He said, I'm going to carry you home early. And He'll get you out of this world. Now, there's not many, no doubt, in that condition. Many which you see are practicing sin naturally have never been saved. And they've had a false hope given to them by some preacher who short-circuited the work of the Holy Ghost of God in their lives. So I beg you, listen to what God says, not what I say. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. Disqualified, in other words. Please examine yourself to make sure that what you call salvation is what God calls salvation. Do not wait until it's too late and you wake up in hell. I love you today. I pray that you'll send us questions, specific questions about some of the things we've dealt with on the radio. You have a right to disagree. I understand that, but I beg you that you look at what thus saith the Word of God. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again, on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.